Mike Padubin. Hello, friend, and greetings again in the precious, amazing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. O beloved, how good it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to put your faith and trust in him, to accept him as your Savior, to know the forgiveness of sin, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. Oh, there's so many wonderful benefits that are available to us through believing in and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And one of the first benefits is eternal life, passing from death into life. Yes, this old body is going to die, but remember, it's just our earth suit that we live in while walking here on earth. And there's coming a day when we're going to be moving out, when God the Father will say, come home, child, and we can slip out of this old body into his glorious presence. And the best, O beloved, the best is yet to come. How good it is to know the true and the living God. And today it's our privilege to look into the Word of God again and see the message that the Lord has for us as we're studying about the Trinity and how that it's revealed in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And we're in John 17 right now. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer. I call this the Lord's Prayer because it was a prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father. And it is recorded here in God's Word. And what often is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, I believe, is the model prayer. It was a model that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gave them this model to go by. But we're in John 17 and verse 18. And Jesus said to the Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And beloved, that's what we as believers are. We have been sent by God the Father and by the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a witness, a testimony. The Lord has told us that we're the salt of the earth. In Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount, that we're the salt of the earth. That is, we're to preserve the earth from judgment as long as we're here. That we are the light of the world. That we're to let the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth shine forth through our lives, through our testimony, through our influence. We are to point men, women, boys, and girls to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so God has sent us through the Lord Jesus. He has sent us into the world to be a testimony, a witness, an example of the believer, to point men, women, boys, and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And in verse 19 he said, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. In other words, the Lord Jesus said, I've set an example before them, an example how to live, an example of how to walk in righteousness and holiness, in truth, in Christ-likeness. This was what Peter explained over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He said, therefore, even hereunto were ye also called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. We should be willing to suffer for him, beloved. As a matter of fact, suffering is a gift. Did you know that? And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, is a very interesting passage of Scripture. My sweetheart wife has had much illness, and she prayed and asked the Lord why, and the Lord told her it was a gift. And she said, a gift? And he showed her Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Notice, for unto you it is given. It is a gift, beloved. And how the Lord has used my darling's suffering, her physical ailments, to glorify himself. As a matter of fact, this radio broadcast is one of the tools that God is using to reach lost and dying people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's because of her health issues. Someday I'll try to explain to you how that the Lord has used her illness to cause me to focus on this radio ministry, and has resulted in far more people being saved, far more churches being established because of this radio outreach than we ever had in our local ministry. And it's all of the Lord, beloved. And so we see that the Lord said, I have left an example for you, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. That is, I keep myself submissive to the Father. I set an example for them to follow, so that they too would be holy and sanctified and separated to the truth. And Jesus, of course, himself is the truth. And so he set the example for us to follow in his steps and to bring glory to the Father. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see, beloved, that's where we come in. I told you that the Lord prayed for us. Right here he shows us how that he not only prayed for the disciples, but he also has prayed for you and me. We who have been saved through the testimony and the outreach of the disciples in writing the Scriptures, so that we might hear the truth and know the truth and come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so the Lord Jesus prayed for us these centuries ago, back in A.D. 33, as he was getting ready to go to the cross. He prayed for you and me, beloved. And that's why he went to that old cross. That's why he fulfilled the plan of God in walking in holiness and laying down his life, that we might in turn come to know him as Savior, be delivered from the bondage of sin, given eternal life, and walk in obedience to him. And so for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified, set apart, made holy through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, the disciples, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. And, O beloved, this is one of the goals that God has for we believers, that we might be one, that we might be united, that we would not be squabbling and fighting among ourselves, criticizing, finding fault, condemning each other, but that we might be united in our love for Christ. This is the command, you remember, that the Lord Jesus said, I give unto you a new commandment, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one for another. We're to love one another, beloved. We're to set an example before the world of unity and harmony and oneness. We're to represent Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit in the world about us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Here we see the Trinity, beloved. This is what we're talking about. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Jesus is the manifestation of God the Father. And we read that previously in John 14. "He that hath seen me," Jesus told Thomas, I believe it was, "he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Because Jesus is the manifestation, the physical revelation of God the Father. And Jesus is spoken of over in the book of Colossians. Let me see if I can find it here real quick in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. "For in him," and verse 8 showed that it was speaking of Christ, "for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Jesus, beloved, is the manifestation, the physical revelation of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And when we ask Jesus to come into our life, it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, as Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. This is their oneness. This is their unity. This is the Trinity, beloved. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Lord Jesus, comes in, and the Spirit of God the Father comes in to indwell the believer to guarantee our salvation, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, beloved, this glorious truth concerning the Trinity, by faith we accept it. By faith we may not fully understand it all, but by faith we believe it, and we know it's true, because the just shall live by faith. Four times this is repeated in the Word of God. Those who are justified, those who are declared righteous, are to live by faith. And that means we who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we live by faith. That is, we walk in obedience to the Lord. We seek to obey His Word and to follow the leadership of the indwelling Holy Spirit, even though God may lead us into areas that we're not familiar with, that we're uncomfortable with, but that it's His leading that He might operate in and through our life to bring glory, honor, and praise to His name. What a privilege to belong to Jesus. Till next time, goodbye.